Welcome to the podcast. My name is Douglas Wilson. This is episode 324. I'm very glad you decided to join us. I hope that we can make some headway during this brief time together. Former President Trump recently put an old-time topic back into play again when he sort of released his statement on abortion, how he was going to approach abortion. And there were two significant elements in what he said. And I want to focus on just one of them right now. But one of them is he said the issue ought to be returned to the states, which is in effect what the Dobbs decision did in overturning Roe. The issue goes back to the states. And what that means is we have 50 discrete battles instead of one great big national battle. So that's the one thing. The other thing is that he came out strong in favor of the rape, incest, and life of the mother exceptions to the prohibition of abortion in our law. So that what that means is that if a child is conceived as a result of rape, if a child is conceived as a result of incest, then abortion should be legal. And then there's the third category, which doesn't fit into the category of the first two, and that's the life of the mother. Now, there are a number of instances where the life of the mother, you might have life in scare quotes there, and it blends into or slides into the health of the mother, and the health of the mother slides into the mental health of the mother. And then if the pregnancy is causing her any level of distress, whatever, you allow the abortion under that heading. But there are also situations, ectopic pregnancies and so on, where there really is a genuine bona fide threat to the life of the mother. And that's a separate issue that would need to be pursued and discussed on different grounds. Okay, so I'm not going to pursue that right now. But I do want to talk about rape and incest, because the people who talk this way, frequently it's politicians who want to have the words pro-life on their campaign brochures. They want to be known as a staunch pro-life candidate, but they also want to stand for what they would call sensible exceptions. So I'm strongly for life. I think we ought to have pro-life legislation, but I do think we ought to have exceptions that allow for abortion in cases of rape and incest. But when a politician takes this stand, as former President Trump has now done, they're revealing one of two things. Either they are clueless as to what the abortion debate is even about, or they are counting on the voting electorate being clueless on what the abortion debate is really about. So that's the issue right there. They're either being very cynical, believing that their voters are going to say, yeah, that seems like a good idea, or they think it's a good idea. They honestly and sincerely believe it's a good idea. But think of it this way. When a child is conceived as the result of a consequence of rape, we have three people involved. We have the father, who is the criminal. We have the mother, who is the victim of the rape. And then we have the child, who is a bystander. So the father's the criminal, the mother is the victim, and the child is the bystander. Now, what kind of sense does it make to execute the bystander for the crime of the criminal? That makes no sense at all. What you're doing is you're saying, okay, there's three people here. Two of them are not guilty of any crime, and we're going to take one of those two and execute them for the crime of the father. It'd be far more to the point if we executed the father for the rape, assuming it being a violent rape, a violent assault. Let's execute the criminal, right? Why execute one of the innocent parties? Now, what this does is it reveals that the people who are talking about rape and incest don't know what the abortion issue is about. The fundamental issue, there, everything boils down to this, is the unborn child a person? If the unborn child is a person, then they deserve all the protections that should go to a person. If they are not a person, then rape and incest has nothing to do with it. If a child in the womb really is just a clump of cells, and they are not a discrete individual person created in the image of God, then abortion should be entirely legal. a woman should be allowed to remove a clump of cells from her body. And if you think, well, that's all this is, then why do you need the rape and incest exception? She should be allowed to do that regardless. But if it is really a person, then the rape and incest exceptions are nonsensical. They're just simply incoherent. It's the same thing with incest, only you've multiplied the problem. So if it's rape, then only one of the parents is doing something evil or bad. If it's incest, then both the father and mother are doing something bad. And if you execute the child for the crime of the parents, so with rape, you're executing the child for the crime of his father. In incest, you're executing the child for the crime of his parents. In either case, any pro-lifer who says, yeah, I'll go for that, yeah, I think that's a good idea, is someone who is telling you, please don't listen to anything I say when it comes to the abortion issue, because they clearly don't know what's going on. Always will be God. So, the way of the flesh always runs down certain well-worn grooves, and these grooves are invariably malicious. As we continue our study of hamartiology, because that's what we're doing right now, we come to the word katalalos, katalalos, K-A-T-A-L-A-L-O-S, okay? Katalalos, which means backbiter, backbiter. This is a hapax, which means that it is only used once in the New Testament, only comes up once. Now, as I've mentioned before, in the scriptures, sins are like grapes. They come in clusters. I'm going to read a larger section of the one place where this word backbiter comes up, where this word backbiter is mentioned, so that you can get an idea of the kind of company that this kind of attitude keeps. This sin hangs around other bad actors, and this is taken from Romans 1, 28 through 31. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with, and here we come to the list of sins, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, and here's our word, backbiters, katalalos, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. As long as I read that passage, I do like to point out that you've got this laundry list of really bad sins, deceit, malignity, haters of God, and then right in the middle, disobedient to parents. And that often brings people up short. Wait, I've done that. So right in the middle of this cluster of rancid grapes is this word katalalos, which means backbiter. So a backbiter is someone who talks someone down in their absence in a way that they would never do to their face. They are biting them in the back. So they say one thing when the person is there, and then when they are gone, the knives come out. Another word we have for this very same sin in English is backstabber. So a backstabber is someone who talks one way to your face and who treats you with malice and spite when you're gone. They're saying awful things about you, which you don't find about that you don't find out about right away, or you don't find out about with any knowledge of the source of it. You hear rumors or whatever. Now, a note to remember: if you are with someone who does this to someone who has just left your company, let's say the three of you are standing there, and the person you're with is flattering this person, and then that person goes away. And then the smile turns to a sneer, and they start running them down. They start backbiting. If you are with a person who is backbiting the person who just left, the odds are pretty good that they're going to do the same thing to you after you depart. And there's no reason to be in the company of such people. If you've seen a person do that to somebody else, you don't know for sure that they're going to do it to you. But I would lay odds on it. All right, so just steer clear. God don't never change. He's God. So my book review this time around is a book just recently finished called Bad Therapy by Abigail Schreier. Abigail Schreier made her mark with her first book, Irreversible Damage, which I've not read, but that book, Irreversible Damage, has to do with the mutilations and the damage being done to kids over this tranny nonsense. This book, Bad Therapy, addresses why the kids aren't growing up, why we are engaged in a long project of sort of permanently infantilize. So turning into infants, keeping people in infancy, keeping people locked up in perpetual immaturity, why the kids aren't growing up. And bad therapy is what we've got is an entire industry that is devoted to flipping over every rock and finding out and frequently creating the problem that they're hunting for. So Schreier begins the book by talking about going in for a medical appointment, and then the doctor wanted to, or a doctor or a nurse, somebody wanted to speak to the child without the parent present in order to ask questions like, are you ever suicidal? Do you cut yourself? Do you wish you were dead? And they, look, I came in because my knee hurts. I came in because I broke my finger and I need you to set the bone and put a cast on it. That's why I came in. I didn't want someone to take me aside and start probing my mental health, right? So what, basically, think of it this way. Never has there ever been a generation that has spent so much money on mental health professionals and counseling and antidepressant drugs and other forms of drug treatments? Has there ever been a generation that has been more obsessively focused on being well-adjusted, that is at the same time manifestly not well-adjusted, right? So basically, at some point, somebody's going to sit up straight and take notice, as Abigail Schreier has now done, and say, you know what? I think a lot of our problems are being caused by the doctors. A lot of our mental health issues are being caused by, driven by, subsidized by our mental health professionals. One of the best things you can do is get out of yourself. And, you know, I've sometimes thought, looking around at all the things that people are spending their money on, whether it's counseling, therapy, drugs, I think, you know, I think a lot of things would improve if we had a famine. A lot of this is sort of luxury. It's luxury therapy. I'm rich enough to feel sorry for myself a good portion of my work week. And Schreier does a wonderful job of sort of walking through all the different areas where this kind of nonsense is going on. Parents absolutely need to make sure that their kids are not kidnapped by the system and swallowed and digested by the system. And one of the first steps in that is to get your kids out of the government school system, because the government school system is frequently a feeder program for the mental health industry. There you go. That's all.